We welcome those of you who are joining us from downstairs in our traditional worship service. I'm Pastor Kyle. Good morning. Thanks for being with us. Also, those of you who are joining us streaming online or listening to the podcast, thank you as well. And of course, again, thank you everyone for being here in our modern service. Missed being with you guys last week as my family and I were away on vacation for spring break, and just want to thank you for that opportunity to get away. And we had a good time, but we missed you and glad to be back with you. And I just want to thank Pastor Lindsay for delivering such an awesome sermon, and thanks to Denny Rule for leading in here in modern worship. Let's give them a hand if we can. Really appreciate that. My family and I usually go to the same beach every year, at least once a year, and we try to do that, and we were able to do that for spring break. And it was kind of bittersweet because the lady that lives next door to the place that we stay has become a real good friend of ours, and she passed away like the week before we were going to go down. And I'd been texting with her briefly before that. She's actually really related to my mother-in-law. She is like a step cousin of my mother-in-law, lives next door there. And so we really got the chance to get to know her over the years, and she'd watch out for where we stayed, and she would text and call and do things like that, would come over and visit with us, and just really became part of our family. And she really loved our dog, Bella, and just kind of adopted her and would send her care packages in the mail of like bones and doggy ice cream and this stuff from Chewy, which if you know, that's not inexpensive. That's a really nice gift that she would send. And she just always looked forward to seeing us and to seeing Bella. And so we're really going to miss her. And she had been battling cancer on and off for quite some time, and it finally caught up to her. But if you were to meet her for the very first time while she was alive, she was in her mid-60s when she just recently passed away. When you first met her, you might be offended by her or put off by her because she calls things like she sees them, and she's a little rough around the edges. And her one habit that was really hard to handle was she cussed like a sailor. And I'm not kidding. Like, and the reason is she was a sailor for 20 years. She was in the U.S. Navy for 20 years. And she was an MP, like the military police, you know. So she was one tough lady. So she'd come over, and she liked her alcohol, too. So, like, sometimes she'd come over, she'd been drinking her Crown Royal, and her mouth starts rolling, you know. And Laura would kind of be taking our boys to the back of the house, and Laura's sister taking her kids into the back of the house, right, just because, like, she's a loving person and just really took care of us. But, boy, her mouth started running. It was hard to listen to. And so I say that as an introduction to our starting a new series today called Holy Bleep. And we're going to be looking at some of the words that we use in our life. Some of the words that can be considered nasty or obscene or profane. Bad words, blasphemous words, taboo words, cursing, cussing, swearing. We're going to be looking into that because if we're honest, all of us are a little bit like our beach friend. Every now and then, we'll let a word or two slip out of our mouths. For some of us, it's more often than others. And if we're really honest, sometimes when we say those words, it really feels good, doesn't it? It really feels good, and sometimes we have to let some of that stuff out. And so, in my life, I've been known to say a few of these words that we're going to be looking at, and hopefully a lot fewer of them since I was called to the ministry and been ordained. And I hope you guys have never heard me say any of these words. And try not to let my boys hear any of this kind of stuff. But every now and then, some of those words slip out. I think one of my biggest fears is that when I'm preaching, that I'm going to say one of these words by accident. And some of my other pastor friends and I have this fear too. Like, you know, what happens if you let one go? And so, you know, we've come up with a plan. I'm going to let you guys in on the behind-the-scenes secret, right? If any of us ever cuss by accident in a sermon, the plan is just start saying a bunch of cuss words and claim that we have Tourette's syndrome, and so we couldn't help it. So, but that's not really fair to people who really suffer from that, so that's probably not a good plan. But anyway, so in our life, like my wife, Laura, she never cusses, very rarely cusses. Grew up in the Wesleyan Church, kind of a holiness-type family. And so she just doesn't say bad words. And she went through labor for 19 and a half hours with our oldest son, Luke. People say, how's he so tall? Like, his mom's an Amazon princess, man. Like, but in 19 and a half hours of labor, she didn't cuss one time. Right? That's my wife, right? And so we have different experience with cussing. And then my son, Luke, learned the F word. You'll never guess where. Not from his dad, so that's good. Learned the F word in preschool. Christian preschool. Right? So that's a little introduction from our family about cussing and cursing. What's your experience of bad words, nasty words, obscene words? Is that something that's happening in your life a lot? Is it something that's you let slip out? Is it something that you find offensive? Are you bothered by people that you work with or live with that say a lot of bad words? What does that look like? And why are we going to talk about a whole series about language? Why are we going to do that, Pastor Kyle? We just finished this beautiful sermon series on contemplation and listening for God and looking for God out in the world. And now you're going to talk about cussing? Like, what's going on with that? Well, a couple of statistics jumped out at me. Some studies have shown that contemporary English speakers use 80 to 90 swear words a day. Where do you fit in that? 80 to 90 swear words a day. Would you be under that, over that? Does that describe you? What about the people that you work with in your life? Does that sound fair or familiar? What does that look like? And then swearing among children takes off between ages 3 and 4. That would shock me. But my kid learned how to swear at 3 and 4, so should I be really surprised? Probably not, right? So these are some things that we're talking about, right? Why are we going to talk about language? Because words matter. Language matters. Right? Finish this sentence for me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's not true. You think words won't hurt you? I encourage you to go up to an African American and tell them that the N-word is just a word and is not offensive. Doesn't mean anything. That's so wrong, right? It's a hateful word. It's a terrible word, right? Words matter. What we say matters. What comes out of our mouth represents what's inside of us. So we've got to be careful with the words that we use in our lives. Words matter, right? And also, why are we doing this series? We want to keep it real, right? This is real life stuff. And so if we can't be real in church about real life stuff, where are we going to be real about? So let's think about this from a godly perspective. When I was planning this series, I initially thought I was going to do it in the summer and call it Summer Swears. You know, we've done summer songs and summer at the movies, but you guys get it before the summertime. So anyway, I also thought about introducing this sermon series to try to make it kind of light and humorous as kind of like a game show. Like Family Feud swear words. So you guys remember 1972, George Carlin was a comedian, and he came up with the 7 words you can't say on television. I'm not going to repeat those here today. If you wanted to look that up for your homework, you can do that. But I was thinking like Family Feud, like Cole Bryant, who is our modern worship leader, would make a great game show host, don't you guys think? Let's give a hand to Cole. You know, we could get the 2 lines of people up here and say the top 7 words you can't say on television, and Cole could say, "Survey says..." But then I'd figure survey says, Kyle just lost his job, so we're not going to introduce the series that way. So what can you expect in this series? We're going to start, as we always do, with the Bible. What does the Bible teach us about language? What does the Bible teach us about words? What does the Bible teach us about what's in our hearts? We're also going to look at a couple of different academic studies of words, specifically swear words or nasty words. The first book is this. Holy Bleep, the S Word. It's written by a woman named Melissa Moore, A Brief History of Swearing. She's a Stanford graduate, very smart person. This is an interesting read, and she just studies the history of language, especially swear words and bad words. The other book that I'm relying on is 9 Nasty Words, English in the Gutter, Then, Now, and Forever, by a guy named John McWhorter, who teaches at Columbia, which is an Ivy League school in New York City. Not to be confused with Reverend John McWhorter, who was the founding pastor of our congregation. So, God rest his soul. Like 2 different people here. So, we're going to be looking at that. And I don't want you to worry that, hey, this is the way Kyle wants to become a cussing preacher and start cussing in his sermons. That's not what we're doing here. Like, we're going to look at words. And using them versus mentioning them are 2 different things. So it's not going to be like a shock value series, trying to take you off guard or anything like that. And it's not going to be a series that's going to try to put a guilt trip on you. And it's not going to be like a sting operation, because I can see some of you squirming right now saying, I cuss in front of Pastor Kyle all the time, and now I'm going to be a sermon illustration? Like, no way. Like, I got this mug for Christmas. I think I showed you. Be careful. You'll end up in my sermon. Those of you who've cussed around me, I'm not going to out you. No worries. In fact, I feel honored that you feel comfortable enough around me to be yourself, right? So this is not an attack on you. It's not a guilt trip. And remember, I say some of these words from time to time as well. That's kind of what we're going to be doing. And I will say, though, that in this series, you're probably going to be offended at some point. I've been offended by reading these books. Like, there's some offensive things in here because offensive words mean offensive things in life. And so I'm probably going to offend you. And some of us have different levels of offense when it comes to language. Like, some of you are going to be like, that doesn't bother me at all, right? I'm like the sailor lady that you talked about. But then some of you probably never say bad words, never try to think them, which is a good thing. And I remember one time I preached a sermon, and I was talking about how things in life are hard, and that things, sometimes life stinks, or our situations at work stink, or whatever. And I was trying to avoid using a word that rhymes with ducks, so I used stinks. And I had a lady come up to me after the sermon, and she said, "Hey, Pastor Kyle, can you find any other word to talk about than stinks?" Like, that offended her, right? So at some point, you're probably going to be offended in this series, and that's okay. I just would ask that you, if you feel offended, sit through the whole message, listen to it, get the whole context before you, get mad or walk out or whatever. If you need to do that, it's okay. Again, we're not going to try to shock value or, throw a lot of words out at the same time or something, but ask yourself, why does that offend me? Talk to me about it. Talk to Pastor Lindsay. Talk to somebody in your small group about that. What about that part of what we're talking about offends you? And that's okay, right? It's okay to be offended, but we can handle it in a mature kind of way. And just know, right, like, while I'm preaching this series to you and to people who are online, right, I'm going to be cognizant that my wife's in the front row right here, and she doesn't say bad words. My sons are in the front row here, and their friend Matthew, who's like a third son to us, is here. And my son's Luke's girlfriend's going to be with us from time to time, and right. So I've got to be careful. I don't want to get in trouble with them, so I'm going to consider that, right? And so I was talking to my wife Laura about this series, and she's like, "In this series, you better not give our boys permission to start cussing, because you're going to be in trouble, buddy, right?" And that's not the goal. And our friend at the beach would interpret Laura's words as, "Hey, Pastor Kyle, don't F this up because you're going to be in trouble," right? So just trust me. We're going to try to walk through this in a kind way. You guys ready for that? Does that sound good? You sign up for that? We'll know where we're starting. Now, here's the disclaimer. The next three slides I'm going to show you very quickly, I'm going to show you the type of words that we're talking about. And they're the specific words. Curse words, swear words come in three different ways, right? So if you're easily offended, close your eyes for these next three slides. I'll tell you when you open it. If you have children who are here that you don't want to see bad words, this is the time to cover their eyes. Cover your eyes if you're watching at home. Again, probably everybody's seen and said these words, but I just don't want there to be any surprises. I don't want to lose my job. All right, you ready? Here they go. All right, so the first type of cuss words are nasty religious words. I'm not even going to say them. You can see them there. OMG, I swear to G, the D word, and the H word, and the GD. All right, so those are nasty religious words. This next slide might be hard for you. The nasty body words, I'm not even going to say them. You can see them. We're not going to spend a lot of time on there. Our body parts and things that we do with our bodies, right? Those are the ones that the comedians like. Then we have nasty slanderous words, the N word, the other F word, the B word, or just a few of those. And those are hard to look at. Right? So we can take those off. So religious words, we have body part words, and we have slanderous words. Just curious, which of those three areas of words offended you the most just sitting here looking at that, like you cringed, okay? So if you were offended the most by religious words, would you just clap? If you were offended the most by the body words, would you clap? Like, that offended you, like, offended you. Right. If you were offended by the slanderous words the most, would you clap? Right. Yeah. Yeah, those slanderous words are hard to take, and they're hateful. What's interesting, though, is for hundreds of years, the worst words that you could say were those first words, religious words. Taking God's name in vain. Condemning someone to eternal torment in hell forever. Right? And so now we look at those religious words as followers of Jesus, and it doesn't even bother us. Right. I just would invite you to think about why that is. Why, insulting God and taking God's name in vain. We're going to talk some about this in the next couple of weeks. Right. Why doesn't that offend us? Right? you used to could say the F word or whatever back in the day. It wouldn't matter compared to taking God's name in vain. So just interesting things for us to think about, which of these words offend us the most. But definitely those slanderous words are terrible, and there's nothing redeeming about them at all. And we'll get to that later. So I want to jump in now to look at the Bible. What does the Bible teach us about what we say, about our language? And let's just read some different passages. We're going to look at some of what Paul says. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. He was a pastor in the first century. We're going to see some of what Jesus said. We're going to see what some of James said. And just in your mind, again, where do you fall in this thing? And again, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, not to make you feel guilty, right? But just why would God say these things to us? Okay, so let's look and see what it says. This is from Ephesians. Paul writes this: "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Right, that can also include gossip, making fun of people, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Okay, let's keep going with Paul in Ephesians 5 now. "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Let's try to be like God, right? We follow God, let's be like God. "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality." He's got a list here of things to avoid. "Or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. Which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Right, that makes me feel nervous because sometimes I can be greedy. "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Right? So Paul says, our language matters. Our words matter. It represents something pretty significant and pretty serious. Okay, so let's take it up a notch and let's look at what Jesus says. Right? These are Jesus' words straight. Right? "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder." We all agree murder is bad. Right? Go to jail, it's a major sin, right? "And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Right? So in this passage of scripture, Jesus takes something that's wrong as an action and he goes to the heart of it, right? Before you murder somebody, you're probably angry at them, right? So anger left unchecked can lead to murder, right? So Jesus says, pay attention to what's in your heart, right? Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, which is like, I think, Aramaic word for like empty, like this is an empty-headed person, kind of a foolish person, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Fool's a lot easier to say than some of those words we saw earlier, right? Right. So he starts out by saying murder's bad. Everybody's like, yeah, murder's wrong. But then he says, and if you call someone a fool, you might be in danger of going to hell. Like, that scares me, right? Because I've said a lot of worse things about somebody than a fool. What Jesus is doing is he's focusing on what's in our hearts, right? Does anybody remember this next guy, Mr. T, right? He was on the A-Team way back in the day, like when I was a kid. He was on the Rocky movies. I love Mr. T. And one of his big bits was, I pity the fool, right? I really hope Mr. T's in heaven because I love this guy, right? So I think he uses that as a fun way to try to do things, and I hope that he's not hitting what Jesus talked about in Matthew's gospel. But Jesus says, right, when we have hatred in our heart to someone and we let that out, right, that could be dangerous. All right, so let's keep going with Jesus. This is in Matthew 12. We're jumping ahead. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Right? So if there's a good tree, it's going to have good fruit. If it's a bad tree, it's not going to have any fruit. Right? In our lives, if we have God in us, we're going to show that. Like, people will see goodness in our life. If God's in our lives and if we're not in tune with God, then there's going to be a lot of bad stuff in our lives. That's what Jesus is saying. Right? Now he's talking to religious leaders. You brood of vipers. Right? Not quite any of these words that we're talking about, but Jesus is not happy. How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus is getting on religious leaders for being hypocrites. They're saying one thing and doing other things. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Works well, same thing for women, right? If good comes out of us, there's good inside of us. If evil comes out of us, there's evil inside of us, right? This negative stuff comes out of our words, there's something in our heart, right? But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they've spoken. Right? For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. That gets my attention. Right? Jesus says what we say is important and it's powerful. Right? So that's from Jesus. And let's go now to James, James 3. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Right? We've been singing God's praise today. How many people are going to cuss out in our car when they cut us off in traffic right on the way home? Right? That happens. That's true. Right? My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come out of the same spring? Right? If you find a spring of water, it's going to be fresh water. It's going to be salt water. Right? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? No. Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Why is it that we can have bad stuff come out and good stuff come out? Because we're human. We're broken. We're not perfect. God loves us anyway, but it's something we should pay attention to. Right? So, I want to encourage you to think about these scriptures. We'll publish them in our newsletter this week. And just think about what you say is important. According to what Paul says, according to what Jesus says, according to what James says, what's inside of us and comes out is important. Okay, so we'll keep that in mind and think about that. Now I want to jump to some of those books that we talked about, the two books, and see some of the lessons that they teach us. They do admit that there are some negative things about these nasty words, obscene words, right? Some words are offensive because they represent offensive things in life, especially those slanderous words that we talked about, right? Calling whole groups of people something terrible, right? Bad, negative, nasty words can be bad language. You're looked down upon, right? If you use this in a board meeting or if I've used it in a sermon, certainly, right? People say it's a sign of a lazy mind, a lack of imagination. I don't know, some people are pretty imaginative with the words that they use, so you don't have control if you use cuss words all the time, that you lack character, people use it for shock value, hey, you know, look at me on the television, look at me on my social media, to try to be as obscene as possible, and then these words get overused, right? So that's just culturally how sometimes we look at swear words as being negative, right? So that's probably common sense there. Let's go to the next one. All right, then they talk about when we say these bad words, what it does to our bodies. I find this interesting, some of this. One, that swear words induce greater skin conductance than other words. Like when we say swear words, there's more electricity flowing on our skin than other words. That's pretty wild. I mean, it's probably not like you can shoot somebody with it, but they measure it, right? So even saying a swear word, like your body just kind of like does something. Woo, I'm not supposed to be doing this. Swear words actually help us deal with physical pain. They put people through these kind of like torturous things that they volunteered to do, right? Like stick your arms down in like freezing cold ice water. And they measured like if you did that and you used swear words like the S word versus saying shoot or darn, that you could have more pain tolerance using swear words. So swear words were helpful in getting through a difficult circumstance. That's interesting physiologically. Not saying that's right or wrong morally, but that's physiologically true. Using swear words increases our heart rate. It's easier to remember swear words if in a recall test. If you have a bunch of words that you have to memorize in like a minute, how many can you write down? Swear words are the first words they write down, right? It's just, it jumps into our minds. It's easy to remember. Now, this is fascinating. Swear words occupy a different part of our brain, right? So when we talk every day with everyday language, it's our left side of our brain. But when we use our swear words like GD or S or F, right, then our right brain is the one that's doing that. It's our limbic system, which is our emotions, right, which usually swear words come out when we're emotional. We're mad or we're super funny laughing or we're angry, right? And so it comes out of that right brain where our emotions control things to the point that if someone has a stroke and it affects the left side of their body or an older person has dementia or Alzheimer's, and they begin saying cuss words for the first time in their life, it's because that part of their body's not been affected. And so those words still exist. Like that's fascinating, because I've met people or had family members who have older loved ones who have either a stroke or they have dementia, and they just start cussing. They've never cussed in their life. It's because the other part of their brain's been shut off, and that's the only thing that they have to remember, right? That is fascinating to me, right? So swear words are such emotionally charged things. It's a different part of our brain, right? So take that for what it's worth. I found it interesting. Nasty words from a linguistic studying language kind of thing. They kidnap our attention, right? People swear because it gets people's attention, and it forces us to consider the connotation, right? The context of it. This, I think, is interesting, right? So a connotation, a word's emotional association or baggage, what a word means in context is different than denotation, the dictionary definition, right? Swear words are almost always connotation. Let me explain this in everyday English, if I understand it, right? So if you use the S word, sometimes you're talking about what you might have in the toilet, but a lot of times you're not, right? Like say, no S, right? Or get that S out of here. You're not really talking about what you do with your body, right? Or the F word, right? Like, he effed me over, right? He stole my job. He stole my woman. It has nothing to do with sex, right? And so a lot of times swear words have to do with context and connotation and not the thing that they dictionarily define, right? So I found that interesting. And then historically, nasty words do possess a deeper, more intimate connection to the things they represent than do other words, right? So sometimes they really are descriptive, right? Nothing says what's in the potty there other than the S word. It's worse than poop. It's worse than excrement, right? Nothing captures the essence of that like the S word, right? And so it's interesting the power that these words have. Okay, so, and then Melissa Moore says that there are some positive things about using swear words in our lives. You can see whether you agree with her or not. This is just what she's writing as an academic. She says we swear about what we care about. Now, that's an interesting thought, right? What do we swear about? We swear about God and religion. So do we care about God and religion? We swear about our body parts and the way that we use those parts. Maybe that's true. What I have a hard time with, like, is the slanderous things. Like when we call somebody the N-word or the B-word or the F-word, we don't care about them. Maybe we care about ourselves, and we're trying to protect ourselves from them. Although, and this is, we're going to talk about this later in another sermon series, right? Sometimes people will surprise you. Like some African-Americans use the N-word talking about other African-Americans in an endearing way, right? Why is that? How is that? Right? Some groups of people call each other the B-word that rhymes with which in an endearing way, like in a friendly way, right? We're going to talk about that too. So that's interesting. We swear about what we care about. We do need good and bad language to express life, right? There are bad things that happen to us in life. There are things that are negative, and we have to express that in some way, and we have to give language to that. And so she's saying that sometimes these bad words are good for us because it helps us capture what our experience is, right? We're going through hell. And that language is a toolbox and that swearing is a hammer, right? Sometimes you have to, she says, use a swear word to get your point across, right? It's like my wife doesn't cuss. 19 and a half hours of labor, she didn't cuss, right? The rare times that she does cuss, she has my attention. Right? Because it is something that she has to express to get out. And hopefully I'm not the reason she's doing that. But that sometimes that's the only way we can express this. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. This is what Melissa Moore says. So I encourage you to think about what that is. And here is something interesting. I want to go back to the Bible. As much as the Bible says about not using bad language, it's amazing how much bad language is in the Bible. We're going to find out there are words for pee and poop in the Bible. There's words for sex in the Bible. It's all in there. And look at this from 1 Samuel 20:30. Saul is king of Israel. This is about 1,000 years before Jesus is born. He's getting ready to lose his kingship to a guy named David. And look what Saul says to his son Jonathan. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse," that's David, Jonathan is friends with David, who's going to replace his father as king, "to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you. Right? Look at this. You son of a perverse and rebellious woman. If I wasn't living in the 21st century, I would think he just called him an SOB. Didn't he? You son of a perverse and rebellious woman. His version of an SOB, the king of Israel in the Bible. Whoa, what's that all about? So where do you fall in all this? Is this making you squirm? Is it making you interested? Like in your own life, are you feeling, oh, I might be saying too many words, or man, I'm glad Kyle's not talking about me in this sermon, right? Where are we in this? What's the point? What's the big idea today? Let me just thank you for having the courage to listen to this so far. I hope you come back. Words matter. What you say matters. Your words matter, right? And the second part of that is this. What comes out of our mouth comes from within our heart. So what comes out of your mouth comes from within your heart. And if there's something bad in your heart, maybe you need to get it out. If there's something bad inside of us, maybe we need to get it out. Say, Jesus, get this out of me. This is how I know how to express it, right? What's in your heart? What's in your mouth? What's in your mind? What does that look like? So going back to the lady at the beach that we loved, just passed away, cussed like a sailor, was a sailor for 20 years. I've been trying to think about what it's been like for her to enter into the presence of God in heaven. Reading all this stuff about language up here, but also knowing that she was a believer, right? If she loved the Lord, if she confessed Jesus as Savior, that she's going to be in heaven. We don't get into heaven by what we do or don't do. It's about what Jesus did for us and our receiving that gift of salvation, right? And I just wonder, like, when we have to stand in front of Jesus, like, what's she saying when he says, you know, why'd you cuss so much? Why'd you use those words? You know, what were you thinking? You know, or did Jesus use a cuss word and say, ha, glad you're here? Just, I don't, probably not, but... But what I envisioned in my mind is something like this. There was a rural church, a small rural church in North Carolina, and one day the Sunday school teacher for the children came and got the pastor and said, you got to come and see, right? A little kid, elementary age, had written the S word on the wall, right? S-H-I-T on the wall. The Sunday school teacher said, you got to lay into them, right? You got to let them know that's not right, you know, just bring down the discipline on them. And do it. And so the pastor's thinking, you know, what am I going to say to this little boy, you know, and what he did? How's this going to affect him? And he noticed that he spelled S-H-I-T incorrectly. So this was the pastor's approach. He sat down with the little boy. He said, look, if you're going to use cuss words and write them on the wall, you need to spell them right. So he wrote out S-H-I-T on the wall. He said, you know what? I love you. I know you didn't mean to do anything wrong. And let's talk about it. He didn't shame him. He didn't judge him. He extended him grace. And I'm guessing, I'm hoping, I believe that Jesus is extending grace to my friend from the beach who cussed like a sailor, saying, I know you love me. I know you had a heart for me. I know you did good things in life, and you weren't perfect. And so, you know what? We can get through this, right? So as we approach our language, our words, right? Some of you might not use any of these cuss words, but you might tear people down. You might insult people. You might talk about them behind their backs. You might talk to them in their face saying, you're no good. You're worthless. You're empty, right? We all use words that harm. And so as we look at what's in our hearts, as we look at what's in our mouths, I just invite you to be like that pastor in that rural church and do it with grace. What's in your heart? What's coming out of your mouth? Let's explore that together. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.